Welcome to One to Another with Dr. Pete Pavelic on today's edition of One to Another.
We see all the way through the Bible that God used people in incredible ways, but you'll notice the people God used were people that could see in color. Do you remember the prophet Samuel? He was dispatched by God to anoint the next king. And here's what it says in 1 Samuel chapter 16. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or his stature, because I have rejected him. Man does not see what the Lord sees, for man sees what is visible, but the Lord sees the heart."
Embracing love for others doesn't need to be an arduous task. Instead of erecting barriers that push people away from the perfect love of the Lord, Pastor Pete urges you to become a radiant beacon of hope, showing the unyielding power of the cross to the world. Let your actions speak volumes, showing kindness and compassion. In a world filled with turmoil and strife, your unwavering love can serve as a sanctuary, drawing others closer to the heart of Jesus. Show off God's love to the world. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Pete or help support this program, go to onetoanotherradio.org. Now let's join Pastor Pete in the book of Philemon, chapter 1, as he begins part 1 of his message, "It's Not That Hard."
There's just something about seeing things in color. Color's better, right? When was the last time you went to a black and white movie? Never, for most of us, right? Because color is better. My grandpa, he had a black and white TV, little bitty thing, I don't know, 13 inches or something. I mean, it was just one of these tiny little TV screens, and it was black and white most of my life growing up. That's all he had right there in his living room. Color's better. We don't watch black and white TV anymore, do we? There was a picture right next to that TV that I saw my whole life in my grandpa's living room. We have it here. It's a black and white picture. Anyways, old black and white photo. People ask me a lot, probably the number one question I get is, "Pastor Pete, how'd you get to be so cool?" I mean, how'd you get to be so cool? Well, right there, genetics. Look at those shades grandpa's rocking. Yeah, he was a cool cat, man. So that's my grandpa, my cousins, they're holding his hands, and then that's me and my brother down there on the bottom. I've seen that picture my whole life, just a black and white photo. When my grandfather passed away, somehow I ended up with it. It's the only thing I got from my grandpa is that picture. Well, I do have a dent over here on the side of my head from him hitting me with his walking cane one time because I let one of his crazy Bremer heifers out of a gate. But anyway, those are the only two things I got from my grandpa, a horrible memory, and a black and white picture. But anyway, I've seen that picture my whole life in black and white. And this week, kind of leading up to this, I thought, man, I would love to see that picture in color. I wonder what color those shirts were. You know, I wonder what it looked like. And so we transformed it into color with the technology, right? The switch of a button. And I was like, man, that's better. It looks better in color, right? I just think there's something about being able to see things in color. And here's what I believe, guys. I believe that as we're walking through, not just the last 3 weeks, not just the last 3 months, not just the last couple of years, but as we're walking through life, we tend to bring ourselves into a place where we don't see as clearly as we once saw. We bring all these different lenses into our world, into our worldview, and instead of seeing in color, we start to just see in black and white. We start to see something that's lesser. The title of today's message is this: "It's Not That Hard." It really isn't. Listen, I get it. There are some things in life that are incredibly hard. There are some things in life that are so hard, they're almost impossible. Flying a rocket is really, really hard. We saw a rocket ship take off the other day, docked with the space station, made news for a lot of reasons. I think we have some pictures for this, don't we? Flying a rocket is tough. What those guys did is not easy. And they didn't do it alone, right? They did it with the help of tens of thousands of other people. There are these incredibly precise mathematical calculations that have to happen for all of this to go off without a hitch. Not only did they fly a rocket up, but then part of the rocket came back down and landed on a boat in the middle of an ocean, standing up. Isn't that incredible? I mean, that's very, very hard. How many of y'all think that's hard? That's pretty hard to do, but they got it done. Winning a gold medal is hard. Y'all know that guy, don't you? He didn't just win one, he won a couple of gold medals. That's old Michael Phelps. What he did was very, very hard, right? And that takes extreme dedication. It takes a lot of sacrifice. And you've got to have the skill and the talent to be able to pull something like that off. Becoming a president of the United States is hard. It's difficult to become a president of the United States of America. You know, in just a couple of weeks, the United States of America will be 244 years old. In 244 years, we have only had, ooh, that's a cool picture. We have only had 45 presidents. Maybe the only thing harder than becoming the president is being the president. That is a tough, tough job. It's why we are encouraged to pray for our leaders. It's hard. How many of you in here think that, you might become the president? Pretty much nobody, right? Because we know how hard that is. We know how unlikely it is. Some things are hard. There are some other things in life that are hard, that are hard in a different way. Like, take your tongue, for example. I know this is a big shift of gears. But how many of you have a tongue? Raise your hand. Okay, people at home, Wilson County, I want y'all to do this with us as well. It's really hard to take the tip of your tongue and touch your nose. Go ahead, try it. Y'all aren't trying it. I'm going to have to get y'all up here to try it. And was I the only one who tried it? A few people can do it, but not many, because it's really, really hard. How about this one? How about this one? Sneeze with your eyes open. How many of you have ever tried that? It's really, really hard. You can fake sneeze with your eyes open. But I'm talking about when you really just have a sneeze come on, your eyes do what? They shut. Next time you get ready to sneeze, try to sneeze with your eyes open. It's next to impossible. Some things are incredibly, incredibly hard. I get it. There are things in life that are difficult. There are things in life that are almost impossible. But thanks to the blood of Jesus Christ, becoming a Christian is not that hard. And thanks to the grace of God, living as a disciple of Jesus is not that hard. Here's what I want to propose to you today. Here's the big idea for today. We make things way harder than they need to be. We make things way harder than Jesus ever did. We make stuff about living in this world and living in this life way tougher than it needs to be. Today, I want to encourage you to do three things. Three things today, three things this week, three things for the rest of your life that might seem hard at first. These three things might seem difficult when you first start to attempt to do them, but if you will just do them, if you will make them a part of your life, if you will do these three things, what you'll see is it starts to become very natural and very easy for you to continue to do them. And these are things that help us see in color. The first thing I want to encourage you to do is do your best to see with the eyes of God. Do your best to see the world, to see people, to see circumstances, to see situations, to see whatever's happening in your life through the eyes of God, through the lens of God. Everybody looks at life through different lenses. Everybody looks at life with some bias, with some lens, perhaps with multiple lenses. If you've ever been to the eye doctor, one of the things they'll do is they'll sit you down behind this funky-looking machine and they'll tell you to look through it, and they start to flip the lenses. Have y'all ever done that? And they're trying to find the one, the prescription, right? What's going to work best for you? And I feel like that's kind of where we're at in life with a lot of people. We're not seeing the same thing. We're watching the same thing, but we don't see it the same way. We're in the same place, but we're not seeing the same thing because we have these different lenses that have been flipped in front of our eyes. These lenses come from all different kinds of things. We get a lens from our education. We get a different set of lenses from our upbringing, what our parents and our grandparents teach us. Certainly, political affiliation puts a lens in front of our eyes that colors and shades things in different ways. There's also past experiences, both good and bad, shape how we see the world and shape how we see other people and shape how we see what's happening in front of us. Even religion is a lens. Notice I said religion, not a relationship with Jesus, but religion. I'm talking about the traditions of your religion. Those are lenses that are put in front of your face. I'm talking about the things that we do, the beliefs that we have, the theology that we develop. They shape how we see and how we react and how we respond to the world around us. All of these lenses and many, many more determine how we view people and how we see the world. What if we just made it our goal to just see with the eyes of God instead? What if we prayed every day, Lord, help me today to see people. Help me today to see this planet. Help me to see today, even in the midst of my problems, help me to see with your eyes. I want to remove all the filters. I want to remove the bias. I want to remove the lenses. I want to remove my preconceived notions and ideas. And I just today, I want to see in color. I want to see with great clarity what you see through your eyes. Only when we see with the eyes of God will we be seeing in color. When most people look at the world, they're seeing in black and white. They're seeing in shades of gray because of the lenses they're looking through. That's not the way God designed it. God designed you and I to be able to see with his eyes. But the reality is we're wearing so many different lenses that the vision, the picture has become blurry. And we're just seeing shadows of what is actually there. We see all the way through the Bible that God used people in incredible ways, but you'll notice the people God used were people that could see in color. Do you remember the prophet Samuel? He was dispatched by God to anoint the next king. And here's what it says in 1 Samuel chapter 16. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or his stature, because I have rejected him. Man does not see what the Lord sees, for man sees what is visible, but the Lord sees the heart. As God dispatched his prophet on this mission, he said, listen, you are going to have to be very intentional. You are going to have to pay close attention because I'm not looking for what everybody else is looking for. And so he gets there. He gets to the house that the Lord led him to. And they begin to bring son after son after son in front of the prophet. And he says, no, it's not him. It's not him. It's not the good looking one. It's not the smart one. It's not the strong one. It's not the big one. It's not the firstborn. And then finally he says, don't you have anybody else? He says, yeah, I mean, it's this kid named David, but he's kind of goofy. All he likes to do is hang out with the sheep and play a harp, and he's the baby. I mean, not much potential really there for him. And he says, bring him to me. And there, inside of David, he found a man after God's own heart. The youngest and the most unlikely of all the brothers, but he was the one that Samuel said, God has put his hands on this one. Because Samuel was a man who was living in color. He was seeing with the eyes of God, not with the eyes of man. There are many other great examples. Barnabas is another great example, another one I love. A man who could see in color. Perhaps one of the greatest examples of this is in Acts chapter 9, verses 26 through 27, when Saul, the great persecutor of the church, who would become a mighty warrior for God's kingdom and who would build the church and expand the church like it had never been done before. But Saul, at this point, was a persecutor of the church. He was a bad dude. He shows up and the disciples want nothing to do with him. I'll just read the text. When he arrived in Jerusalem, he tried to associate with the disciples, but they were all afraid of him since they did not believe he was a disciple. They had that lens of the past experience they had with Saul that was blocking the color. It was helping them to only see in black and white. They were only seeing a blurred picture of the picture. But Barnabas was different. It says in verse 27, Barnabas, however, took him and brought him to the apostles, and he explained to them how Saul had seen the Lord on the road, that he had talked to him, and how in Damascus he had spoken boldly in the name of Jesus. While everybody else was looking through the lens of the past, their past experiences, what they had heard, what they had seen, what they had witnessed, Barnabas, thankfully, was a man who was living in color, who was seeing in color, who believed in forgiveness and grace and the transformational power of an encounter with Jesus. He was the only one that saw it in color. Just imagine if Barnabas wouldn't have been there. We may know nothing of the Apostle Paul. He may never have gotten a shot except for this one man who could see with the eyes of God. The Apostle Paul will later stick up for an escaped slave by the name of Onesimus. You can read the book of Philemon. It's just one chapter. It's a short little book. It's a powerful book, though, because the Apostle Paul is writing back to the owner of Onesimus. And Onesimus not only left, he not only escaped slavery, but on his way out, he stole from his owner. And Paul is looking back, and he's trying to tell the owner, he's saying, hey, listen, don't look at our brother in black and white. You need to see this in color. In verses 15 and 16, it's kind of the climax of Paul's appeal. He says, for perhaps this is why he was separated from you for a brief time, so that you might get him back permanently, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, as a dearly loved brother in the Lord. And then Paul says, he is especially so to me, but even more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. I'm thankful Paul saw this in color. What other people would have just looked at in black and white, what other people would have just seen a blurred vision, Paul says, no, there's something deeper here. There's something richer here. God is doing something incredible here. And if you follow church history, you will see that God uses Onesimus in incredible ways. Thankfully, Paul was able to see in color. And if time permitted today, we could also look at the lives of Abraham and Moses and Rahab. We could look at the life and the story of Esther and Nehemiah, Samson and Noah, Matthew the tax collector, Peter the fisherman, Thomas the doubter. We could look at so many, and we could say with the eyes of men, with the vision of this world, none of these people make any sense at all. None of them deserve a place in the greatest story ever told, the story of redemption. But when you look with the eyes of God, you see something greater, something more. What if we stopped looking at each other in black and white? What if we made the choice instead to see in color? What if we asked God to give us His vision for this world and we stopped trying to create our own vision for the world? It's not that hard, because it's actually the way God designed us. It actually is the way God wants us to see the world. He wants us to see the world through His eyes. We just choose to see it through our own man-made lenses instead. So I want to encourage you this day and this week, I want to encourage you to try to remove the lenses and just see it in color. Second thing I want to encourage you to do is love with the heart of God. We make loving people way harder than Jesus ever did. We make loving people way more difficult than Jesus ever did. In general, we love who we want to love. We love those who love us. We bless those who bless us. We care about and care for those who care about and care for us. This is the natural way. This is the easy way. But isn't love about more than this? Just think about it this way for a second. What if God loved you and I the way we normally choose to love others? What if God loved you the way you love other people? What if God loved us the way we typically love others? What if God only loved us when we loved Him? What if God only cared or blessed us when we cared about Him or when we blessed Him? What if God was only concerned with us when we were pleasing to Him? I know many of your stories, but I don't know all of your stories. I may not know about your journey with Jesus, but I know about mine. Man, I was wretched. I was stained. I was lost. I was the prodigal son. I was deep in the pit. I was without hope. I was without God, and I was certainly without salvation. And yet He loved me with an everlasting love. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says, "But God proves His own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." That's a love that's living in color. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, it says this, "And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins." Loving with the heart of God is not loving in the way most of us are used to loving. Most of us are used to loving in black and white. We're used to loving in the normal way, the natural way, the way we were taught to love. Loving in color, though, is much different. It's much richer. It's much deeper. And it's certainly much, much, much more profound and will have a much bigger impact.
You've been listening to another message from Pastor Pete on One to Another. Pastor Pete is going through a series, and you'll want to hear the rest of the messages from it. There are so many good things to gain from what he has to share, and it's straight out of God's Word. The Bible directs you to what's best for you, what's good for you, and what's off limits so that you stay on track where God wants you to thrive. Sometimes it's tempting to want to explore what else is out there. But there's a reason why there's a predictable way for you to follow, as it's in your best interest and will lead you to the destination that was intended. This is God's heart for you, to lead you to where He wants you to be with Him. We trust that what you're hearing today brings encouragement and hope along life's journeys. Just go to onetoanotherradio.org and find the Resources tab to hear more messages. Before we end for today, here's Gwen with something else to share.
You may or may not be aware, but One to Another Radio Ministry is listener supported. Would you like to be an integral part of the ministry as we seek out financial support? We're looking for first-time donors this month, and if you decide to do so, we're going to send you a gift of the month. What a great opportunity to step out in faith and see what God does through the funds that come in. So take that first step and go to onetoanotherradio.org, then find the Donate tab. It's easy, it's safe, and it's a blessing for you to give to this ministry. We hope you'll be encouraged by the fact that this allows Pastor Pete's teachings to go further than they would otherwise. Once more, if you're interested, go to onetoanotherradio.org. Here's Phil.
What Gwen just mentioned sounds like a great opportunity to become a part of what's going on here at One to Another. But if you're not really an internet person and you prefer speaking with someone over the phone, we understand. You can reach us at 830-769-3733. One more time, that phone number is 830-769-3733. That's about all the time we have for today, but we're so glad you tuned in. When you go to onetoanotherradio.org, feel free to browse our website to learn more about upcoming events with Pastor Pete. There's lots you can gain from just looking around and getting to know us even better. Thanks so much for joining us today. We look forward to the next message right here on One to Another.